Jesus clearly taught that we must forgive those who hurt or offend us. Jesus said, if you forgive others, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. I mean, no, that is a word from the Lord. If we want our prayers to be answered, we must not only ask God to forgive us, we must forgive those who have offended us. In Mark 11:23, it says, for verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. I mean, that's a pretty big promise. If you can speak to a mountain and believe that mountain's going to move, it will move. Therefore, I say to you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. You know what? I believe that. And when I'm under a big attack, got a big mountain, it's a little more difficult to believe, but you have to believe and stand on it. Our second daughter was born with a major heart condition the second year we were here, pioneering a new church. We didn't have any property, didn't have a building. We had a few dedicated people. Things were moving along in the right direction. And this baby, Sabrina, was born with a major heart condition. Her heart literally hooked up backwards. And you're talking about a panic situation. And I got the word there in the hospital with Dottie from the doctor, and it was just overwhelming. I went out, it's a long story, but I'll shorten it. I went out to the car and grabbed my Bible. I said, God, I have to have a word from heaven. This is what he gave me. For verily I say unto you, and I read it out of the King James, the good old King James. That was my Bible. That's the one I carry around with me. I read them all. Can you say amen? And I know some people want you to self-censor. Don't read this. Don't listen to this. Don't listen to this newscast. I mean, don't self-censor. Get in there and study and find out for yourself. Amen. That's a word straight from heaven. For verily I say unto you that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, this heart condition, be taken up and cast into sea, it will be done if you believe it. And I said, Lord, I believe it. I speak to this heart condition, cast it into the sea. When I said it, I just saw it go down. And then it says, but shall believe in thine heart that God, that which he saith shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. Therefore, I say unto you, what things soever you desire, when you pray, believe that you receive them and you shall have them. I said, Lord, I desire this and I believe I receive it right here, right now. And I saw health and well in my arms. But right before that, I saw the next verse, 25. And when you stand praying, forgive. I stopped immediately and I just made a list of everybody that I thought that I might have something against. And if I'd already forgiven him, I forgave him a second time. Because I didn't want this hindering, this miracle I needed. Now, God doesn't want you to spend all afternoon trying to think of somebody you need to forgive. If there's somebody you need to forgive, ask him to show it to you and then forgive them by faith. It may hurt so much you just can't forgive them up here, but you forgive them in your heart. And you ask the Lord to enable you to forgive them and have peace about it. Get it in your heart. Forgive by faith. So, Lord, you know this hurts. You know this is difficult. I forgive by faith. You enable me to forgive these people or this person or whatever. Somebody say amen. It is important to be sure you're not carrying a grudge against someone or have a plan in your heart to get even. That get even thing will wreck you and it will hinder your prayers. For verily I say unto you that whosoever, and I know a lot of people say, well, it's just those apostles that have the power. It's just the preacher. It's just those anointed few. That's not what this says. This says whosoever. Whosoever. How many want to know what the Bible says? A lot of people only know what the preacher says. That's why I read it. So is it up there today? Put it up and leave it up. Thank you, until I get to the next one. And when you stand praying, forgive, if you have aught against any, that your Father, also, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. It's important to forgive. Whosoever shall say unto this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea. Matthew chapter 6, verse 14. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. We're getting it together, I think. For if you forgive others for their transgressions, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Once he forgives us, he expects us to do the same for others, to forgive others. What has anyone done to you that's worse than what we have done to Jesus Christ with our sins? They were so bad, he had to take them in his body and die in our place. That's pretty bad. Verse 15, but if you do not forgive others, then your Father will not forgive your transgressions. Is God's forgiveness conditional? Evidently it is. It's conditional upon us forgiving others. We need to make sure we do not carry grudges. These passages show that it is not possible to be forgiven without forgiving. Dr. Rick Mays, while he was here, been my personal physician for 40 years, and he believes in the power of God to heal as much as we do or anyone else does. And he told this story of a lady that came up for prayer, and she didn't get what she prayed for. She needed a miracle healing or deliverance. I forget exactly the details. I just remember what the problem was. And she went back to her seat, and she went back to the seat. The Lord spoke to Dr. Rick and said, I'm not through with her. Tell her to come back up here. And he said, God shows me that you need to forgive somebody. And she said, I don't, can't think of anybody. So God says you need to forgive somebody. So anyway, finally, he convinced her that she needed to forgive. And she thought of somebody that God brought to her mind. And she forgave him and God healed her. Amen. So this is an important message. Well, I want to get healed. Well, start out by forgiving anybody and everybody. And let's believe God. Ephesians chapter 4, verse 32, be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as in Christ God forgave you. Just as in Christ God, just as Christ forgave you, you are to forgive others. Give others as God forgave me. I am to forgive all those who hurt me and offended me over the years. Forgive others the way God forgave you. Colossians chapter 3, verse 13 says almost the same thing. Bear with each other and forgive whatever grievance you may have against one another. Forgive as the Lord forgave you. I like to read several verses if I can to let people know I'm not just taking one verse and playing games with it or twisting it. There it is. For as the Lord forgave you. Does forgiveness mean that we are to allow someone to continue to abuse us? We forgive what was done in the past. It is not required that we allow them to keep doing it. Can you say amen? Some people, well, if you forgive them, you got to let them keep doing it. No, you don't. I preached this message many years. Oh, one similar. I never preached exactly the same thing. My memory's not that good. Okay. But anyway, this guy came. We had the hospitality room going, and I was over there, and he came over, and he says, I will not forgive my wife. I said, she's been unfaithful to me, and she's mistreated me and abused me, and I'm not going to let her do it again. I said, well, Word of God doesn't say you have to let her do it again, but you have to forgive her if you're going to serve God. You don't have any choice. Amen. You can't get into heaven without your sins being forgiven, so you're going to have to forgive her. Nothing says you have to let her keep treating you that way, but you have to forgive what she's already done. And I'm right, because I'm just reading the Bible. When you're reading the Bible, you know you're right. Can you say amen? Self-defense is not a revenge. You've heard me say before, somebody hits me with a hammer and I live through it, I'll forgive you or forgive that person. But if I see them coming at me with a hammer again, they're not going to hit me a second time. Can you say amen? I'll stop them one way or the other or outrun them one or the other. I like to run so I'll be in shape. Can you say praise the Lord? Luke chapter 17, verse 3, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. What if he doesn't repent and he keeps trying to hit you with a hammer? Then what? Run or get you an equalizer. Can you say? I mean, some people feel like you can't defend yourself. There's not anything in the Bible that says you can't defend yourself. Can you say amen? I preach the truth and carry a 9mm in case somebody don't like it. Kidding. Yeah, Luke chapter 17, verse 3, if your brother sins, rebuke him, and if he repents, forgive him. Verse 4, if he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back, notice it says come back and repent and apologize, I'm sorry. But those people who do it and enjoy doing it and will keep doing it, you may have to do something. First of all, pray and let God deal with it. Most of the time, I pray over bad situations and God just deals with it for me. And sometimes he shows me something I need to do. If he sins against you 7 times in a day and 7 times comes back to you and says, I repent, forgive him. The apostles said to the Lord, increase our faith. They said, if we're going to have to live like this, we got to have more faith. They said, increase our faith. So he said this is going to take a whole lot of faith. But forgiveness, ladies and gentlemen, is required. It's not optional. And we do forgive by faith. We don't try to get even. If you're trying to get even, you definitely have not forgiven them. And sometimes it's yourself you got to forgive. The guy that's caused me the most problem in my whole life is looking at you right now. And very often we have something against ourselves. Why did you do that? I mean, we have to forgive ourselves. And Rick told a story of a lady that was mad at God. She had a grudge against God. She prayed about something and it didn't happen and she blamed God. A lot of times it's not God, you know, it's us. Job blamed God and Job rebuked him. He said, are you going to blame me for the things you've done yourself? Now that's a whole different message, but don't forget that. God rebuked Job and basically said, are you going to condemn me for what you've been doing? He was righteous before God, but he was doing some things. Can you say amen? And one was blaming God for everything. And sometimes we need to forgive God. He doesn't really need our forgiveness because he wasn't guilty, but if we think he did, we need to forgive him. If we think he let us down. I'm telling you right now, he's never letting me down. And I was praying about something. I told you about it a few weeks ago. I didn't tell you at the time. But once God took care of it, I told you about it. But anyway, I was concerned about it and asked John Uchai to help me pray. Is that you, John? Yeah, that's you. And that guy's a prayer warrior. And he hears from God. And so he sent me a message. He says, question, have I ever let you down? I thought, why is John talking to me like that? And then I heard the Lord say, it's not John. Have I ever let you down? I said, no. Some of these songs today were quite on target. Can you say amen? God never lets us down. He's always there. Miracle after miracle after miracle, but you have to believe for every one of them. You have to believe for every one of them. What does the Lord's Prayer say? Matthew 6:12, forgive us our debts as, what does that ask me? Forgive us our debts as we also forgive our debtors. Forgive us our debts as we also have, the NIV says, have forgiven our debtors. We need, in prayer, we need to go ahead and forgive. Just like the Lord was showing me when he was healing Sabrina, I needed to know that I had forgiven everyone that ever offended me or hurt me or bad-mouthed me or told a tell on me. And I went through their names as best I could remember and forgave and re-forgive every one of them. Matthew 8:23, therefore, the kingdom of heaven is like a king who wanted to settle accounts with his servants. As he began the settlement, a man who owed him 10,000 talents. In today's money, that would be approximately $10 million. He owed his master $10 million. And verse 25, he says, since he was not able to pay, the master ordered that he and his wife, and that day they could do this, that he and his wife and his children and all that he had be sold to repay the debt. If you had to repay your debt, or I had to repay my debt to God, it would cost me my eternal soul. I can't pay it, couldn't pay it, but Jesus paid it for me. And by faith, when I put my faith in, he forgave me a debt I had did not have the ability to pay. This guy did not have the ability to pay. That's why Jesus is telling this story. You think, well, I'll just be good and I'll make it to heaven. No, you do not have the ability to pay that debt and be free. You pay it by dying and going to a lake of fire. Verse 26, the servant fell on his knees before him. Be patient with me, he begged, and I will pay back everything. Now, this is not some story that Paul made up. This is Jesus Christ telling the story. Verse 27, the servant's master took pity on him, canceled the debt, and let him go. His debt was too big. The only hope was forgiveness, just as in our case. That's why the Lord is telling it this way. Our sin debt is bigger than $10 million. The soul that sinneth, it shall die. That's the debt. Death. That's the penalty. Death. The soul that sinneth shall die. So to have our debt canceled means we get to live. Salvation is not a joke. It's serious stuff. We need to be forgiven so we can live. We have a sin debt we cannot pay. Therefore, we need to be forgiven. To have our debt forgiven means we must forgive others. Matthew 18:28, but when that servant went out, he found one of his fellow servants who owed him 100 denarii, which in today's money, as best I can figure, is $20, $20. He owed this guy $20, the one that had been forgiven $10 million. This guy that was forgiven grabbed him, began to choke him. Pay back what you owe me, he demanded. Pay me and pay me now. Verse 29, his fellow servant fell on his knees, did exactly the same thing he had done, and begged him, be patient with me. He just prayed the same prayer, so to speak. Be patient with me, and I will pay you back. But he refused. Instead, he went off and had the man thrown into prison until he could pay the debt. His fellow servants went and told the master what he had done. Verse 32, then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant. I forgave your debt and you are trying to get even with other people and make them pay you every dime that they owe you, even though it's just $20. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant. He said, I canceled all that debt for yours. That's what happens when we put our faith in Jesus Christ. He cancels our debt. Blots it out with his blood. He says, he nails it to the cross and blots it out with his blood. And when someone was crucified by the Romans, they would nail a plaque that listed the laws they broke or could have broken. And then they crucified him. And in the case of Jesus Christ, it says the handwriting of ordinances was against us, and he blotted them out with his blood. Canceled. For by grace are you saved through faith. People say, well, grace is shed abroad. Everyone's saved. No, they're not. For by grace are you saved through faith. You're saved when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, put your faith in what he has done for you, and when you confess your sins and ask him to forgive you and invite him to come into your heart. Then you're saved and born again. You become a new creation. And then you don't get to do just anything you want to do. You get to serve him and obey him. And a part of that is forgiving people. Amen. I need a little bigger amen. Then the master called the servant in. You wicked servant. You know, I don't want him calling me a wicked servant. If that's you. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 33, shut you have had mercy on your fellow servant just as I had on you. That's what Jesus is preaching, teaching here. He says, shouldn't you have mercy on others just like I'm having mercy on you? Verse 34, in anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured that until he should pay back all he owed. Oh, that is scary to me. Lord, reveal to me anybody I need to forgive. Can you say amen? Stan, you may want to go ahead and forgive me. Okay. When the master discovered that his servant would not forgive, he reversed his decision. Now, don't ask me what I mean by this. I'm just reading what Jesus what he said. Ask him what he means by it. Shouldn't you have had mercy on his fellow servant just as I had on you? In anger, his master turned him over to the jailers to be tortured until he should pay back all he owed. You see, when the master discovered that his servant would not forgive, he reversed his decision and decided not to cancel the debt after all. So we need to ask the Lord, if I need to forgive anybody, make it real to me, and I will forgive by faith. Even if it hurts, I will forgive by faith and let you take care of the feelings. That's the way it works. We live by faith, including forgiving other people. So this is not my opinion. It's what Jesus said, what he taught. Matthew chapter 18, verse 35. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. From your heart. You may have all kind of memories up here, but in here, you got to pray to get to the place that thing is gone. It doesn't have any desire to get even. Somebody say amen. Just reading. This is how my heavenly Father will treat each of you unless you forgive your brother from your heart. Jesus says, if we do not forgive, God will treat us the way the king treated this evil servant. He made him pay up. You see, the secular humanists in our universities are teaching our kids not to forgive, but to seek revenge. And that's the world we live in. No one is really teaching forgiveness, and the church has to preach it. If an insurance company does something you disagree with, do not forgive them, kill them. That's the attitude. You ever heard of Luigi Mangione? He's charged right now with stalking and the murder of the United Healthcare CEO, Brian Thompson, even though he was not the same insurance company that had offended this guy. He just went out and killed an insurance guy. And there's people in this country, all over the country, defending him. Well, he had a right to do that. The Bible says you're going to go to hell if you don't forgive people. And that's what our kids are being taught. You don't forgive, you get even. In our universities. That's the environment we live in. So a message like this is totally foreign. But if we don't forgive, we're not going to get our prayers answered. You don't get to carry grudges. Somebody say amen. Even though it was not even the same insurance company, he picked out the insurance guy and killed him. Many are justifying him and trying to get him off. If your parents, kids are taught this in the universities right now, if your parents do not vote for your politician, for the one that you like, punish them. Refuse to speak to them. Don't talk to them. Have nothing to do with them. What in the world? If your parent does something you don't like, you have to forgive them, no matter what it is. My daddy cussed me and abused me. I never had any problem with it. I just loved him and forgave him anyway. I never even had to work at it. But I knew I had to forgive him. Can you say amen? I didn't have the right to get even before God. Listen, what's being taught in this country right now is sending people to the devil's hell. And they don't believe in that either. Well, I won't believe in that. Well, you'll believe in it when you get there. This is serious business. And when you get there, there's no second chances. I'm just telling you what God told me to tell you. They teach our children to hate and hold grudges against people, including Christopher Columbus, who have been dead for hundreds of years. Let's forgive old Christopher and get on with our lives. And he didn't do anything to any of us anyway. That's taking up a reproach against someone else. Bible says not to do that too. You see, they want to punish Americans for past sins. These same people, secular humanist Marxists in our universities and also all over the country and around the world, these same people abort babies, abuse drugs, rebel against authority, but they want to punish others for the sins they disapprove of. Our sins are okay, yours are not. Well, there's something so wrong with that. We are to forgive people, period. Do not let people fill your heart with hate. We must forgive people in the past, present, and future if we want to be forgiven. If you don't want to be forgiven, just have it your way. But on Judgment Day, you cannot say Barry Coverson didn't warn me. The Bible says if I don't preach the truth, I'm going to have blood on my hands. But if I do preach the truth, I have no blood on my hands. John 8, verse 7, and a lot of preachers need to get that. You don't get to just do anything you want to do in the pulpit. You preach the word of God or you're going to have blood on your hands. In John 8, chapter 8, verse 7, he that is without sin among you, let him cast a stone. You see, the definition of a hypocrite is someone who condemns others for evil when they are just doing the same thing. We have people today full of the devil condemning other people for things they have done that's probably not even as bad in some cases. Matthew 7:7, judge not that you be not judged. If you go around judging everybody else, you're next. You're going to be judged. And judging is when you just say something and you can't prove it. And one of the favorite things for people to do today is say, well, he's a racist, she's a racist. Before God, you better be able to prove that because that's a judgment. And you don't get to go around calling people names. Amen. It's judging. Now, if you can prove they're racist, then you may want to warn people about them, but you better be able to prove it. It's slander if you can't prove it. Matthew 7:7, judge not that you be not judged. For with the same judgment you judge, you will be judged. With the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. People don't believe that, but it's happening all around us. You judge others, you make a quick decision, oh, they're this, they're that, and you don't know for sure that's the truth. It's coming on you. And I didn't make this up. Well, I don't believe it. Well, that's not my problem. My problem is reading it to you. And what you do with it is your business. For with what judgment you judge, you'll be judged. And with the same measure you use, it will be measured back to you. When we judge others, we will be judged in the same way. So why not just forgive them and get over it? And Jesus goes on to say, and why do you look at the speck in your brother's eye, but do not consider the plank in your own eye? How can a generation that murders unborn babies condemn a generation that owns slaves? Now, don't misunderstand, they both are wicked. But killing babies is just as bad. Can you say amen? So those people own slaves, been dead for, what, over 150 years? Let's just forgive them. Okay, and quit beating on them. A lot of them are burning in hell. They're paying, so leave them alone. Instead of judging, condemning people, we're required to forgive them. Verse 4, Or how can you say to your brother, let me remove the speck from your eye, and look, a plank is in your own eye? Your sin is bigger than your brother's. Get rid of it. And he says, hypocrite. Now, I would never call anybody a hypocrite, but he did. I can read what he said. Hypocrite. Quoting Jesus, hypocrite. Hypocrite. First remove the plank from your own eye, and then you will see clearly to remove the speck from your brother's eye. We want a preacher who's so nice, and he's always so calm and cool. He never gets excited. He never really puts pressure on people. How many know Jesus was not like that? He was brutally honest. You hypocrite. You whitewashed tombs. You're full of dead man's bones. You're of the devil. Your father the devil. That guy was tough. Remove evil from your life, then try to help others overcome evil in their life. Jesus calls these people hypocrites. We're required to ask God's forgiveness, and we're required to forgive all other people. If you feel like insurance companies have abused other people, just forgive them and get on with your life. Mind your own business and let God deal with the insurance companies. Don't be trying to kill their CEOs. And what if somebody gets upset with you about something, comes over and tries to kill you? Where is it going to end? And the Lord knows there's no end in it, so forgive. The only way to end it is forgive. So why does God not allow us to seek revenge? The opposite to forgiveness is revenge. Get even. Leviticus chapter 19, verse 18. You shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your brother, a white, black, brown, love your brother as yourself. And that's in the Old Testament law. That's always been God's law. Leviticus 19:18, you shall not take vengeance, nor bear any grudge against the sons of your people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. We are forbidden to seek vengeance, but trust God for justice. Jesus said, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? I tell you, he'll bring about justice and quickly. I preached on that, 2 weeks ago? Go get that message. God will avenge you. Just leave it alone. God can do things to them you'd go to prison over. Let God deal with it. Can you say amen? God will avenge us. He gets even for us when we forgive. But there is a verse that says, if we don't forgive, then God may not bring vengeance on them. If you want God to deal with them, you forgive them and forget it. Amen. Luke chapter 18, verse 7, and will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? Will he keep putting them off? Verse 8, I tell you, he will see that they get justice and quickly. God is watching over you. He'll protect you. He'll fight for you. Forgive those people. Here again, you can defend yourself. You don't have to sit back and let people keep hitting you with a hammer. But God will deal with it. And I can testify as a pastor. I've been a pastor about my whole life. Pastored in, and that's a long time. And associate pastor for 9 years. Pastored in Lexington for 3 years. Been here. All you got to do is add it up and you'll get an idea of how old I am. Been here 45 years. And all the way, there's been people that didn't like this, didn't like that. Some people telling lies on me. They just don't like something. And so they think they're going to wreck me, destroy me by telling a lie. And nearly every time I say, God, you know I'm obeying you and I'm doing exactly what you told me to do and I'm living for you the best I know how. I'm going to trust you to take care of this. And I can tell you almost every time God dealt with it and I never had to do anything. And some of them are in the early grave. I said some of them are in the early grave. One guy was telling all kind of lies on me. I said, God, you have to deal with this because I can't prove all these things he's saying. He's just making it up. I can't prove it's not true. And he just fell over dead. Don't you mess with me. But how many of you know God's no respecter of persons? He's not going to just fight for me. He's going to fight for you. Amen. If I'm... If I, If I mistreat you and don't make it right, God's going to deal with me. And believe me, he has a time or two. I've been perfect most of the time. But the time or two I messed up. Jesus says that if we will pray persistently, God will give us justice. And will not God bring about justice for his chosen ones who cry out to him day and night? I tell you, he'll bring about justice and quickly. Somebody mistreated you. If you will really cry out to God day and night, be serious with God, forgive them, but pray to God that God will take care of it. Because if it doesn't get taken care of, they may do it again. So you want to pray that God takes care of it and leave it to God. Amen. He will do it. I believe the Lord's honest, don't you? And what is faith? Just believe in the word of God. So we are required to forgive, but if they do not repent, God will deal with them. Romans chapter 12, verse 17. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Do not take revenge, my friends. Give room to God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay, says the Lord. When we forgive, we leave room for God's wrath. To leave room for God's wrath, do you see that? We must forgive. He will repay, so what do? We forgive. God requires that we forgive and not seek revenge, because that's his department. We must forgive those who hurt or offend us. Jesus says, if you forgive others, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. Not forgiving others can prevent the blessings of God. Now, I believe if I hadn't really went through that exercise to be sure I had forgeven everybody, God may not have healed Sabrina. And by the way, she's in her 40s, has three beautiful children. God's blessing her in fantastic ways right now. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Let's all stand.